Can You Hear Me When I Call by Tilla Dustin Tedley. Would you come up here and be ready to lead that in just a moment? No, I did not think of this at the last minute, but actually I did. Our sermon today, our lesson today, focuses in Luke 18 about prayer. And I had thought of some different ways to introduce this, and as we were sitting here singing, this song came to my mind. And Carol, I know you're already prepared for your songs and all that, so I thought of Sam sitting over there next to me. But I think that this song will serve as a very, very appropriate way to direct our thoughts on prayer. This is a lovely, lovely song. You're probably familiar with it. Brother Tedley was a member of the church and wrote many, there are many songs in the songbook by Brother Tedley. He lived to be a little over 100 years old, I believe, but this, to me, of all of Brother Tedley's songs, is his crowning achievement. I think that this is, as far as the words, the music, the way the thought flows, is one of the most beautiful songs that we have in our books. And I think that singing this today will help us frame our minds, and let's think about the words as we sing them. Let's sing them with the spirit and heart that I think they were written and intended to be sung with. Turn to number 215. Brother Sam will come and lead us in this song right now.
Hear me when I call, O God, my righteousness. Unto Thee I come in weakness and distress. On my trembling hand, lest I should fall.
My voice.
verses 1 through 8. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? Prayer. That lifeblood, you might say, the oxygen that you and I need so desperately in our Christian walk in life. Prayer. That connection that brings us into the very presence of God. And in this parable, we are taught something about being persistent when we pray. And when we analyze this psalm today, I want us to think about it really with two ideas. That we pray, as verse 1 says, and not faint. That we pray instead of fainting, and that we are persistent instead of fainting. Because that's the whole idea in verse 1 that Jesus has as the motivation for telling the parable. Some translations, particularly the King James, says faint or fainting. Some newer versions might have the words lose heart. That's the idea that's expressed by the word of fainting, that someone would be inclined to lose heart, to be discouraged, to give up because the circumstances of life are such that the person simply feels he or she cannot deal with them, cannot face them any longer. And Jesus says, if that is your situation, and at one time or another, I feel pretty confident in saying that's the situation that all of us face and feel, that's the way all of us feel. Jesus, the background of the parable, verse 1, he spoke this parable for that specific reason. So if you are someone in the midst of losing heart, if you're discouraged, if you feel like you're about to faint spiritually, this parable Jesus spoke for us. Because he told this parable that men always ought to pray. Hear me when I call. And so, number one, notice that Jesus says that we should be praying instead of fainting. Praying instead of losing heart. Prayer is a great privilege. There are at least a couple of other passages that I want us to refer to that help us understand the great privilege of prayer. This is something that, of course, as a child of God, we have 24 access to 7 days a week, every day of the year. And yet, sometimes because of discouragement, sometimes because of obstacles that Satan throws in our way, we forget about it. We fail to pray. And yet, from the depths of our soul, like the song we were just singing, hear me when I cry out. Hear me when I call. And at those times when it seems the weight of the world is upon your heart, and you feel like fainting, and you're discouraged, pray instead of fainting. Remember a couple of other passages. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, beginning at verse 14. Seeing then
that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast.
See, don't give up. Don't faint.
Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest that cannot empathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because he's our high priest, 1 John 2 says he is our advocate, he is our go-between. He is the channel of access to God. Because of that, let us therefore come boldly. That's not fainting. That's not losing heart. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, who among us has not had a time of need? Who among us has not needed mercy? Who among us has not needed grace to help? Well, it's right there when we come boldly before the throne of grace. So pray instead of fainting. Another passage that I want to use to support our parable that we're studying in Luke 18 is just a few pages over in 1 John chapter 5. If you would, turn to 1 John chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 11. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And again, we're talking about not fainting, but praying. 1 John 5, 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, confidence, not fainting, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, this is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Oh, hear me when I call. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now, I want you to notice, do not take this verse out of its true meaning and its true application. Do not take 1 John 5, particularly verses 14 and 15, to say, anything I want and I ask God for, He'll give me. Because that's not what the text says. There is a qualification to this kind of prayer in the very text itself. Notice in verse 14 again, if we ask anything, well, so far, you know, that's pretty broad. Look at the next four words. According to His will. God's not going to give me just anything I ask for, particularly those things that are not according to His will. So when I pray, when we come back to our text and we really begin to look more at Luke 18 in just a moment, we've got to realize the kind of praying that we're talking about, even when we're discouraged, even when we're fainting and we think we're about to lose heart, still must be according to His will. Even Jesus in the garden prayed, not my will, but yours. And when we pray according to His will, we learn to accept His will, because I don't always know what God's will is, and I don't always know what the best answer to my prayers are. But He does. And although I might, and often, make suggestions to God, that might not be
His ultimate will.
And so the text is not saying that God must meet my demands. The text is saying I must learn to live learning what God's will is. Knowing confidently that He hears me. And I know that He hears me. And so when we are discouraged and down and feel like fainting, as Luke 18:1, pray. Because this is the confidence that we have, that God hears us. God is aware. And because, you know, we feel like fainting. Notice the text there in 1 John 5, you know, says confidence and uses the word K-N-O-W, know, a couple of different times. That's the very opposite of fainting and the very opposite of losing heart. Because we feel like losing heart, we feel like fainting when our strength is gone, we've struggled, and we feel like there has been no progress made, and we are tired of the struggle. You see, people faint because they're weak. People faint because they are somehow nutritionally or medically deprived. There's a weakness. There's something not as it ought to be when a person faints. Spiritually speaking, when we lose heart and we faint, maybe it's because we're tired of the struggle. We're exhausted. We're ready to give up. Well, that's the very time to pray and not faint. We need to pray and not lose heart. We need to pray and not faint. The world may knock us to our knees. Well, what a great place to be to begin to pray. The world may knock us flat on our face. What a great place to be to pray. The Bible tells us when Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine. Read the text in the gospel accounts again very closely. That he lay flat on his face when he prayed. Prostrate in the garden. Pray instead of fainting. With confidence, if you will, turn back about maybe two or three pages from Luke 18 to another parable in Luke 11. And once again, it's a parable based on prayer. And it's something to teach us to pray instead of fainting. It's something to give us confidence to come boldly before the throne of grace to find help, mercy, and help, grace to help in the time of need. It's something that gives us confidence, something that we can know. Luke 11, beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, Jesus was praying, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said, illustrating this point. Which of you shall not have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within and say, Do not trouble me, for the door is now shut and my children are in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. And I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because of he is his friend, yet because of his persistence. And this is
somewhat of an introduction to the second part of the lesson as well from Luke 18. Because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If, another illustration, a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You see, God is in the giving business. And God is ready to bless. And when we come back to our parable in Luke 18, the first part of this lesson, we have spent our time constructing this first point that we need to pray instead of fainting. Because we feel like fainting. We feel like giving up. We are discouraged. And so there is a need there because of our weakness and the struggle that we may be ready to cash our chips in to be persistent. And so that is why we want to develop this second point and transition into it now. The second half of the lesson, that we need to be persistent instead of fainting. Number one, pray instead of fainting. Number two, be persistent instead of fainting. It's got to be a persistent prayer. And that really brings us to the heart of the actual parable in Luke 18. A parable about an unjust judge. Somewhat similar to what we read just a moment ago in Luke 11 about a father who Jesus, for I think the sake of maybe exaggeration, says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. In other words, you're not a perfect person. You're not the Heavenly Father. You're not sinless like God. Well, here's an unjust judge. And notice that he's even worse than that loving father who would do the right thing for his child. Because this unjust judge, in verse 2, does not fear God or regard men. You know, this is not exactly the person you want to be before if you're trying to get justice. Because he doesn't care. Well, this widow comes along, and she wants justice from her adversary. And apparently, he refuses to give it. And he ignores her, but apparently, he didn't count on her being so persistent. And she came again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Until finally the judge says, you know, I really don't care about this woman. I really don't care about her cause or her case. I don't care what other people think of me if I ignore her. I don't even fear God or care what He thinks if I ignore her. But she has been rattling my cage so consistently and so persistently for so long, I'm going to solve her case just to get her off my back. If an unjust judge will even do that, imagine what our God, who loves us, will do for us. Persistence in prayer. Because God, the Father, is not unjust. He cares. He loves. And sometimes in the midst of our difficulties, we may be tempted to doubt God's love. We may be tempted to doubt God's just holiness and His compassion and care for us. 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us that we should cast all our care upon Him because He cares for us.
First Peter chapter 5, interestingly enough, also talks about an adversary. This woman in Luke 18 had an adversary. First Peter chapter 5, verse 7 and 8 tells us to be sober, to be vigilant, because our adversary, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. That's the devil. That's Satan. Our adversary, the devil. Our adversary is Satan. You and I have an adversary. You and I have an enemy, whether we want him or not. He is our enemy. He is our adversary, and he is troubling us. He is pushing our buttons. He is doing the things that cause us to be aggravated and angry and discouraged and struggle and lose heart. And we have a judge that we can turn to, unlike this one. We have a judge that does care about us. We have a judge that does want to avenge us of our adversary. Notice that Jesus says in verse 7, "And shall God not avenge His own elect?" His own elect, who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them, I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. God cares. And that's why it's necessary that we do not faint, but pray. And that's why it's necessary that we are persistent when we pray. Don't give up. Don't quit. You see, this widow is the illustration, really, for us. Because she's the one who could have given up. You see, in the Old Testament and the New Testament days, widows were ones who were weak, poor, needy, often neglected. Many people did not take time to care for their needs, and only the really caring and compassionate would intervene. And here's a case where a man was not caring, not compassionate, not loving, did not care to intervene. But he didn't realize how great a faith she had, how persistent she would be. And that she would come back again and again, even after she received no the first time, the second time, the fifth time, the tenth time. She kept getting no. She kept getting go away. She kept saying, you know, your case is not worthy of my time. That's the unjust judge. But the example here is of the widow and her persistence. Her continual praying. Notice Jesus says the application is of His own elect who cry out to Him day and night. That sounds like praying more than once. That sounds like praying persistently, continually, constantly, putting faith in God. And the point is not that we are heard because we persevere in prayer. Notice, remember, 1 John 5 says that when we ask according to His will, He hears us. So the point of the parable is not that we are heard because we persevere in prayer. Rather, we should persevere in prayer even when the answer or the solution seems long in coming. We should persevere in prayer even when the solution seems long delayed. Because we have faith in the one to whom we are praying, and we know that God will answer us and God will give us what is best. Why? Because we have prayed this according to His will. And when we have put our full faith and trust and confidence in God,
knowing that He will give us what is best, knowing that He is aware of our needs, knowing that He has heard us and heard our problem, and we turn it over to God. And even though the answer may not be immediate, even though the answer may not be as soon as I would like it, and it might even be different from what I envisioned it, God has heard me, not just because I was persistent, not just because I persevered, but God has heard me. Get this. Because He loves me. That's why He's heard me. Because He loves me. And when you're in the midst of your struggles, and in the throes of utter discouragement, feel as though your prayers have gone no higher than the ceiling in the room in which you are in, please remember, God loves you. God cares. And yes, God has hurt you. Oh, hear me when I call. And indeed, He does. God, the application in verse 7 and 8 of our text in Luke 18. God hears His own elect. And God will bless and answer according to His will with what is best. And then interestingly enough, the parable ends and our lesson will begin drawing to a close with this as well. Nevertheless, verse 8, the last sentence. When the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on earth? Notice the question is unanswered. Because that answer is entirely dependent on you and me. And notice the question is framed in the greater story of Jesus' return. See, this isn't about just a one-time incident, but Jesus is saying one of the reasons we ought to pray and not lose heart, back in verse 1, is in verse 8, is because one day He's coming back for us. One day He's going to return. And whatever happens to us in the meantime, whatever struggles and difficulties and challenges to our faith we may face in the meantime, hang on. Hang in. Do not give up. Do not be discouraged to the point that you quit praying and you quit having faith. Because Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on earth? And He's just been talking about prayer. And the reason that I'm convinced that the text says this is because if Jesus comes and He finds, and people have done what He says here, they're in spite of the difficulties or challenges to their faith, they're praying. Guess why they're praying? Guess what? It's because they have faith. And so, if prayer is found, if Jesus finds prayer, and if faith can be found, Jesus will find it, okay? He's the one to find it. But if prayer is found, faith will be found. Because when you pray, you build your faith. And when you build your faith, you pray. And I know that sounds an awful lot like circular reasoning, but you believe me. That's exactly what it means. Build your faith by prayer. And the more you pray, the more you build your faith. And when Jesus comes, should you and I still be living on the face of this earth, He indeed will find faith because He has found us, because we are people of prayer persistently, and we are consequently people of faith.
God love you.
And God bless you.
And this morning, if you are outside of Christ, would you let God save you? Come to Jesus as the Son of God. Turn from your sins. Confess Him as the Savior. Be buried with Him in the water of baptism and added to the church. Begin your walk of faith. Begin your lifetime of prayer. And persevere and persist. And remember, God loves you. Would you come this morning? So we stand and we sing.